Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Raptors, your daily Toronto Raptors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 80 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday, February 9th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean, and the show is on Twitter as well, at Locked On Raptors, where you can find links to every single show. Locked On Raptors is also part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find team-specific shows for all 30 NBA teams, as well as Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd and Locked On NBA with David Locke. And you can find them all together on the Locked On NBA iTunes channel. The big story in the NBA today is what happened with Charles Oakley at the Knicks game last night, the controversy there between him and the security that ushered him out, and James Dolan, and all the mess that's going on right there with the Knicks, because the Knicks are the Knicks. And you can probably hear about all that if you go to Locked On Knicks with Jared Dubin. I'm sure he'll have that covered today, so make sure you go there. You can go to our show, Locked On Raptors, on iTunes. You can leave us a rating or a review. That is the easiest possible way to help out the show, to help boost us up the rankings, and make people sort of discover the show when they maybe otherwise wouldn't see it on the charts. So would really appreciate the feedback there. On today's show, going to recap quickly a game that was one that you'd like to put away from memory, but kind of had some troubling signs from it. The Raptors lost the Minnesota Timberwolves on Wednesday night, 112-109. Things seemed to be going pretty well for the first three quarters. The offense was humming. You can see just having DeMar DeRozan around is so important to the Raptors, and it really helps things, just become a lot smoother and easier on offense. And he had a solid night. He had 30 points, 12 of 25 from the field. You could just see that the offense just clicks when he's out there. And the Raptors had no problem scoring for the first three quarters. Fourth quarter, things kind of fell apart. And this is kind of where we can sort of talk about this game, because everything sort of hinged on the fourth quarter here. There were some really nice performances from the Raptors. Damari Carroll, in particular, had maybe his best game of the season. One of his most efficient nights, that maybe is a Raptor so far. I'd have to go back and check box scores, but really just an all-around great performance from Carroll. He played 34 minutes, 19 points, 9 boards, 2 assists, hit all 5 of his threes, 7 of 9 from the field. He was just phenomenal. And it's too bad that the performance got wasted. As good a performance by Carroll as we've seen got wasted by a really crappy fourth quarter for the Raptors. And, I guess the way you start this is sort of looking at Dwayne Casey, because, I have been a Casey supporter pretty much, for the last 2 or 3 years, while there's been some sort of, sometimes people look to blame him for a lot of the problems the Raptors have, issues with Jonas Valanciunas' playing time and touches, sometimes like the late game offense. And I think those concerns are sometimes overblown, and I think Casey has gotten a raw deal in the past. But last night, I don't know, it's really hard to put this loss on anybody but Casey. He just had a really, really rough night, especially in the fourth quarter. It didn't really make sense what he was doing. Jonas Valanciunas had a really solid game for the Raptors. Didn't really clean up the boards the way he normally does, but he had 16 points on 7 of 7 from the field. He was phenomenal, especially in the third quarter. I think he had 12 of those points in the third quarter, and there was just no answer for him. Karl-Anthony Towns couldn't stop him. Gorgui Dieng couldn't stop him, and he just was kind of getting anything he wanted on offense. And for some reason in the fourth quarter, Dwayne Casey didn't go to him until like the last minute or two of the quarter. He rolled with Lucas Nogueira a lot at center. He had one of his worst games of the season. He just didn't really contribute anything on the floor. Couldn't rebound. He only had one field goal attempt. He made it, but he just didn't really have it going, and his defense wasn't there to justify having him on the floor. Normally, the reason Bebe plays is because Jonas' defense is a little more suspect than Bebe's. So in times where the Raptors' offense is scoring, you want to have Bebe out there to sort of add a little bit of an extra defensive element, some more rim protection, a little bit of added mobility, although I think sometimes Bebe's mobility is kind of overstated because he can get caught out on the perimeter and get blown by guys. But Bebe played most of the fourth quarter, and it just didn't work. Karl-Anthony Towns had a field day. He had 29 points on 8 of 14 from the field. Got to the line 13 times. And yeah, Bebe had four of those personal fouls, and you know, he just guarding Karl Anthony Towns is hard, and Bebe didn't have the physicality to do it, and just Towns completely destroyed the Raptors. And it wasn't just that though, it was the fact that the Raptors were playing this, you know, strange defensive scheme that they've kind of done all season, but makes less, it seemed like they were more aggressive last night, and it seemed like a team that, of all the teams that you want to use this scheme against, you know, Minnesota doesn't really seem like it's on the list. They're not a great three-point shooting team. You know, Ricky Rubio is not a great three-point threat coming around screens. Like, it's not like you have to have a big there meeting him as he comes around a screen. I mean, he was only 2 of 7 from the field in this game, and he's never been a great three-point shooter or even a reliable jump shooter. So the need to, like, trap and sort of blitz and high-wall these pick-and-rolls doesn't make a ton of sense. And Andrew Wiggins is the same. I mean, he's a fine shooter. He had a really good game for the Wolves last night, 31 points on 19 shots, added in 6 assists and 5 rebounds, too. And so I don't really know why the Raptors chose to go with this sort of scheme, because it's not like Wiggins is going to knock down threes coming around screens either. Rubio is not going to do that. Lance Stephenson was running the offense for a little bit. Like, that guy is one of the worst three-point shooters in recorded history in terms of the volume that he takes. Tyus Jones didn't shoot well from three. Like, no one was having this kind of night where they were just lighting it up and you needed to sort of meet the guards at the perimeter when the pick and roll started to happen. And it just left the Raptors, was just sort of bare back at the rim. You know, you have Lucas Nogueira come up and there's just nothing waiting for the rim, and Karl Anthony Towns gets a pass, or, you know, they get some penetration to the rim after a swing pass to an open guy on the perimeter, and they just get to the rim, and it's just a layup line, and the Raptors couldn't defend at all. I mean, the Wolves couldn't defend either, really. In the fourth quarter, DeMar DeRozan kept taking it to Tyus Jones. They kept getting switches onto Jones, and DeRozan was really taking it to him. And so it was just kind of like score for score in the final 6 minutes or so of the game. But things dried up for the Raptors. Things got a little too predictable for them. And eventually, you know, Kyle Lowry had a rough night shooting, but he didn't really figure into the late game offense. Valanciunas wasn't on the floor to figure into that. And it became very DeRozan-centric, very reminiscent of past seasons where DeRozan kind of leads the offense and it kind of gets swallowed up and becomes predictable and monotonous. And eventually you can kind of gear yourself to stop it. And that's what happened. And the Raptors ended up just not being able to get enough scores. And on the defensive end, just there was no logic to what they were doing and sort of being so hyper-aggressive against a team that you really don't need to be aggressive against. This isn't a team that is littered with perimeter shooters. I mean, this is a team that you can kind of play one-on-one and play straight up, and it just didn't work. And the rotations for Casey were weird, too. I mentioned Valanciunas. I mean, he's shown some signs as well lately that he's improving on defense. I actually wrote about Valanciunas for RaptorsHQ.com, and I can talk about that a little bit more, but one of the notes that I put in there just about his defense lately is that he's becoming more sort of, you know, palatable to have on the floor in those situations. I mean, over the last 15 games or so, Valanciunas has the third best on-court defensive rating of anyone on the team. Only Lowry and Bebe are ahead of him in that category. So Valanciunas is proving that he can be sort of steady enough on defense to keep him out there and take advantage of his offensive utility. And he just wasn't out there. And he didn't play much. You know, Jared Sullinger and Jakob Poeltl played fourth quarter minutes ahead of Valanciunas. And normally I understand the times when Casey decides Valanciunas is not sort of cut out for a matchup. This time around, no one was stopping Karl Towns, so you might as well have your best offensive center and best rebounder out there when you can, and they just didn't do that. So that was disappointing to see. And the other thing, too, that was bizarre was, for the second straight game, Norm Powell kind of played the Roberto Osuna closer role, where he all of his 7 minutes came in the fourth quarter. He didn't do anything with them. He definitely seemed cold and kind of flustered being in there. His first possession, he traveled, and he lost Shabazz Muhammad on a back cut as well at some point. And he just really didn't have anything to offer when he came into the game. And that's hard. You come into a game cold. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is a different way of thinking about, you know, how you use your rotations and saving a guy for a situation where maybe a team hasn't seen him. But, like, I don't really get it overall. I mean, I think it's just logical that if you put a guy in cold late in the game, that he's not going to sort of be within the flow of the game. He hasn't played with anybody. He hasn't felt the ball all night. And, you know, I mean, you saw exactly sort of the issue that he had, that you have when you put a guy in like that. It just, Powell didn't offer anything. He was a -7 in his 7 minutes. And, you know, the Raptors were going small because the Wolves were going small as well. And they were just getting torched on the boards. You know, Towns is just a monster. It was just, there was no sort of cohesion to what the Raptors were doing. The defensive scheme didn't make sense. Going small didn't make a ton of sense. And yes, Patrick Patterson in this game would have made a gigantic difference. He's a guy who has guarded Karl Anthony Towns in the past. He guarded him in the first matchup. I think Towns had a really bad performance in that first game, a really rough shooting night. And Patterson is a fantastic defensive player. And having him in the mix, maybe you avoid those situations where you go small with Powell at the four, and maybe the defense just hums along a lot better, and you have him to sort of make up for some of the mistakes that you have made by guys like Bebe or whoever, or if your centers can't get back, at least you have Patterson as a guy you can kind of hang back in the paint a little bit. But that just didn't happen. And that's kind of the issue when you don't have Patrick Patterson. And I think we're getting reminded over and over again of how important Patrick Patterson is to this team. There's no excuse, really. I mean, the Wolves, it was a really frustrating performance for the Raptors. The Wolves are a team the Raptors should beat, especially with no Zach LaVine. I mean, LaVine is the kind of guy that maybe you can sort of justify using that, aggressive sort of high wall scheme and trying to get up in his face. We can't pull up for these, three pointers from the perimeter. But everyone else on the team, he wasn't there. Everyone else is not that guy. There's not that kind of threat. And the Raptors put themselves in a position of having to recover and make rotations that they, have trouble making on the best of days when they didn't really need to. And it just cost them the game. And Dwayne Casey, I think, deserves a lot of sort of, criticism for how he handled his rotation and his bench in the fourth quarter there. And for the defensive scheme they used. It was a weird game, too, because the Wolves used this weird... They decided they were one of the few teams this year that hasn't trapped Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan over and over and over again. I mean, there were a couple possessions in the third quarter when Pascal Siakam came in as the starter. I mean, he started again, and that experiment needs to go away. Siakam had a nice first quarter, had some nice energy, made a few defensive plays. The third quarter, he was a disaster on the court, and the lead sort of evaporated while he was out there. And it was kind of unwatchable with Siakam. But anyway... what I was talking about there was, there was a few situations in that third quarter where Siakam would set the screen for DeMar, and, most of the time a team would throw all of their attention at DeMar, throw two guys at him, trap the ball, and instead they weren't doing that at all and just kind of letting DeMar go around and just have like a free layup or a free dunk or a free sort of mid-range jumper. And I don't know what was going on there with the Wolves. It was a weird way to sort of handle DeMar, but I don't know. It was a weird game on defense for both of these teams. Neither of these teams are very good defensively. So I guess it makes sense that it came down to sort of a battle of who could just score the most in the fourth quarter. And with the Raptors kind of going to their sort of hero ball and even Lowry, they had a couple opportunities for Lowry where he just missed open threes. There was one open three that looked like it could have been a dagger late, and it clanged out, and he had a rough night from three. I think it was 4 of 13 from downtown. So that sort of continues the up and down sort of stretch he's had from three. But the other thing too was just Dwayne Casey just didn't manage his timeouts well. He didn't manage the end of the game very well. He burned all his timeouts, and the Raptors were left, with no timeouts, I think, with the opportunity. They were down three with like 20-something seconds left, and instead of, just setting up, trying to go for a three to tie, they did this thing that they keep doing where they're going for quick twos and then forcing the Raptors to foul and then, come back up and try to have a late-game possession where the Raptors were down three anyway. And, this has happened a couple times where they've been out of timeouts, they've done this, gone for the quick two, and then they have no sort of structure for an inbound or anything like that when they come in with the final play of the game, going for a tie or a win at the buzzer, and it leads to the Raptors not having any effectiveness in those situations. Kyle Lowry, in this situation, DeMar DeRozan brought the ball up the floor, the Raptors were down three, they needed a three to tie, and DeMar DeRozan's not taking a three to tie, he's not a three-point shooter, and so that the sort of play is to get Kyle Lowry the ball. It was so telegraphed from the very start of the possession when DeRozan brought it up, and then DeRozan brings it up sort of on the elbow of the three-point arc, has a little dribble handoff to Lowry's kind of circling around. Lowry brings himself into the corner. Andrew Wiggins switches perfectly on the thing because it was so easy to pick up. I mean, if Wiggins hadn't switched, it would have been a disastrous meltdown for him. So they switched the play. Wiggins was draped all over Lowry as Lowry put up a three that he almost stepped out of bounds for anyway in the corner, and it went off the side of the backboard. It was just a disastrous late game play, and I don't know what the Raptors are doing when they're drawing up these plays and just having no timeouts to sort of establish just some structure and some order from the sideline and, not having to bring the ball up all the way up the court. It's killing the Raptors not having these timeouts. So that's another thing Casey really has struggled with, a lot this season. And just when you compound that with what happened with the rotations and with what happened with just the defense, it was just a really rough Casey outing. And that happens. I mean, players have bad games, coaches have bad games too. And, you know, Casey, I think, talked today at practice and sort of talked about why Bebe got more of the run in the fourth quarter. Said he was out there for his pick and roll defense. But when Bebe's not providing that pick and roll defense, like, I'm okay giving him the quick hook because he had a rough game from start to finish. And, you know, Valanciunas might have been a better offer, a better offering to sort of counteract what the Wolves were doing. And then you get to use his offense as well and sort of run the offense through him a little bit. Because as I wrote about for Raptors HQ, and I'll get into this now, leave the Casey stuff behind. As I wrote about for Raptors HQ, which you can check out on RaptorsHQ.com, I wrote about yesterday. Jonas Valanciunas has looked really damn good lately, especially on offense. I mean, his defense, again, he's kind of capped as to what his potential is going to be there, just kind of by his lack of mobility, but he's kind of putting it together on the offensive end where he's not just a post-up guy. He's not sort of hanging out in the tributaries of the Raptors' offense. He's actually becoming more part of the actual flow of the offense, and it's just sort of minor little improvements that he's making. His passing, I mean, it's still a work in progress for sure, but there have been a lot of examples, and I used the game on Monday against the Clippers as the main example, but there were a couple examples last night where he's just, you know, typically with Valanciunas, the issue is he'll get the ball in the short roll when the opposing team traps Lowry or DeRozan, and then he just kind of stutters there with it, doesn't make a decisive move with the ball, bounces around a little bit, and sometimes, you know, the result of the play is he just ends up, you know, dishing it back to Lowry or DeRozan once the trap sort of dissipates and they kind of restart things all over again. But, you know, lately, especially in that game on Monday, and he did it against the Wolves a couple times as well, he's moving the offense along quickly. He's getting that pass on the short roll. There was a play against the Clippers in the third quarter where he got the pass and it immediately darted it to Damari Carroll in the corner for a wide open three. There was another play as well where he sort of moved it along to Pascal Siakam. Siakam made a move and passed it back to Valanciunas, and then Valanciunas made another pass to the corner. It was just lots of pinging the ball around from Jonas, which you don't really see. He had another assist in that game too, where he, you know, out of the post, which has been a sort of a place where he's had a lot of issues on offense before, because he'll get that sort of telegraphed post up, and the result is going to be either a bucket, a foul, or a contested miss, or a turnover. And, you know, when he can pass out of those post-ups, like he showed a couple times, and he's shown a few times this season, he's getting more comfortable with it. When he's doing that, he just becomes more of an active part of the offense. He's initiating an action where he's kicking it out to an open shooter, and they're getting the shots that the Raptors' offense is designed to get without having to, you know, have Lowry DeRozan make a drive to the rim. It's just another source for the exact shots that the Raptors are looking for. And it's been encouraging. But Jonas didn't play in the fourth quarter again, despite having a really effective game on offense again in the third quarter, especially, as I mentioned. And that sucked, because I think that he's kind of earned a little bit more rope from Dwayne Casey. You know, it's kind of hard to say, like, oh, maybe just like try to outscore teams and not worry about defense as much. But when Valanciunas' defense is being fine, like, and it's just like totally at a baseline of just like neutral, then you can kind of afford to do that. You know, maybe live with a slightly less effective defense than you'd hope for in a utopian world, and just outscore the hell out of teams. And the Raptors have the ability to do that, especially when Valanciunas is taking part in the offense as sort of an active contributor. And it just didn't happen against the Wolves, and that was disappointing to see. But here's hoping Valanciunas can kind of carry this over, because it's been a really nice 4 or 5 game stretch for him here. Ever since the Pelicans game, really. I mean, the game against Boston last Wednesday, he had got foul trouble, only played 11 minutes, so you kind of throw that one out. But the other games he's played, that Pelicans game, the games over the weekend, and the Clippers and Wolves games, he's looked really comfortable on offense. He's looked just like part of what the plan is, not sort of a guy that you have to just feed the ball to once in a while to keep happy. I mean, he's getting his touches just kind of within the flow of the offense. He's putting up jump shots and looking confident doing it. He's not sort of, you know, screwing around with weird pump fakes and then sort of backing down or making these sort of half-hearted drives to the rim. He's looking decisive. Yesterday he made a drive to the rim and just dunked it down, and it was great to see, because normally it would be pump fake, you know, stutter step, you know, move into an improvised post-up and throw up a contested shot. But when he's being decisive and quick with his reads, he becomes so much more effective. So here's hoping that this 4 or 5 game sample can kind of carry over, and it's kind of an indication of him sort of putting some things together on offense, because that would be a huge sort of load off of Lowry and DeRozan and just sort of an extra boost for the Raptors' offense, which has already been really good this year. But if it can get better somehow, maybe that helps outweigh the bad defense that's been played by the Raptors of late. So that's all I have for today. Jonas Valanciunas, a nice positive coming out of that game against the Wolves. But other than that, just a really sort of crushing loss that it seemed like it was in line to be a win for the longest time, and then just things fell apart in the fourth quarter. And this doesn't make Dwayne Casey a bad coach. I mean, people love to hop on Dwayne Casey as soon as something goes wrong. And yeah, the last few weeks here without Patrick Patterson, he's been forced to improvise a lot and sort of experiment with new lineups. And I guess part of the experimentation process is that you're going to have failure sometimes. And that's understandable. It's just sometimes he's getting a little too cute with what he's trying to throw out there, and kind of relying on guys that don't make a lot of sense. I mean, Norm Powell, cold off the bench, doesn't make a lot of sense. Jared Sullinger just still doesn't look like he's fully in tune or up to speed. And he's kind of relying on dudes that, you know, maybe he could look away from for a little bit and maybe just kind of focus on what makes the Raptors really good. And maybe that means more minutes for, you know, Valanciunas or Carroll or Lowry or DeRozan or Terrence Ross or whoever. But I think at the end of the day, if you're going to try to get wins, like, you got to kind of rely on the things that you know are going to work for you, especially when you're missing Patrick Patterson. I mean, he's such an important piece to this team, and we've gone over it a million times, but to get these wins when you're kind of scuffling, I think you kind of got to just go back to the drawing board and kind of focus on what makes you good instead of just tinkering and trying to experiment as much as you can. So that's all I have on Casey. I'm sure he'll turn it around. I'm sure once Patrick Patterson's back, the rotation will sort of stabilize again and things will get back to the sort of continuity-based sort of scheme the Raptors have run the last little while and gotten the last couple of years and gotten really comfortable with. But until then, here's hoping Casey can kind of figure out how to, you know, use the bench in a more effective way. And I guess we'll see. That's all I have for you today. I'm Sean Woodley. You can follow me on Twitter at WoodleySean. The show is on Twitter at Locked On Raptors. Leave a rating or a review on iTunes. Would really appreciate that. Tomorrow, Friday, we have an awesome episode coming up that I'm very excited about. Oliver Moroney, who covers the NBA for Basketball Insiders, among other places, is going to be on the podcast for a Terrence Ross appreciation show. He's from Portland, which is where Terrence Ross is from, and he's, you know, followed his career all the way up from his Washington days. And I'm very excited about this episode because Terrence Ross, as you know, has a place near and dear to my heart. So we're going to talk all things Terrence Ross on the show tomorrow, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Obviously, we'll tweet that show out when it's available. Until then, thank you so much for listening and have a great night. And try not to lose sleep over the Wolves' loss too much. Take care. Napa
Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.